We are excited to be here, even though it's a rainy day. There is no place I would rather be than right here to start off my week, to be with you guys, to thank God for his goodness. And this scripture, you're all familiar with it in Lamentations. And it says, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning." Aren't you glad that we have brand new mercies this morning? Did anybody need new mercies this morning? I did. "I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him." And, you know, go ahead and be standing. Hope is the theme of Eagles Way Church because we always believe that the best is yet to come. And so you can dare to hope every day that the best is yet to come and relish in his mercies and enjoy his presence. So I encourage you this morning to not think about yesterday, to not fret over tomorrow, but in this moment right now to focus on the one who loves you, the one who is for you, and the one who says the best is yet to come. Amen.
Beyond all reason, you gave your life, your all for me. Call me yours forever. Caught in the mercy fallout, found hope, found life, found all I need. You're all I need. The time has come to stand for. Yeah. stand for all we believe in. So I, for one, am gonna give my praise to you. The time has come to stand for all we believe in. My fear. turn my eyes to see your face as all my fears surrender. Hold my heart within this grace, where burden turns to wonder. And I will
Father, Lord, that everything that we need, Father, is within us because you are within us. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that you are always faithful, that you are always trustworthy, that everything that you mean for us is for good, that your thoughts about us are good. Father, I thank you, Lord, that Jeremiah says that you have a plan, that you have a hope, that you have a future. And I thank you, Father, Lord, that we are just able to surrender our lives to you this morning, to surrender ourselves, to surrender our ego, to surrender everything, God, that's hindering us, Lord, from walking into your, entering into your presence and walking into the truth and the knowledge, God, that you are for us and that we can trust you. And Lord, we need you more, Father, than we need anything. Lord, we need you more than the air that we breathe. We need you, Father. And you are so faithful, Father, to fulfill those needs in our lives. And we trust you, we worship you, and we thank you, Lord.
Than ever before, I need you, Lord.
You're the glory, God is Thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy that you show us every day. And that when I feel like a failure, I know that you have redeemed me. And then I have another opportunity to make it right. God, because you are in me, thank you so much for your presence, for your glory and your beauty and the power that you give to us. How you shine in us. We love you so much, Jesus. We praise you today.
Good job. Still raining outside. Hope it's raining in here. How's everybody? We sang that song a lot at youth camp, and it was just a sweet, sweet presence every night as we worshiped him in a little cabin that had these cathedral ceilings, and the acoustics was just so powerful, and Bobby Joe singing it just sounded like an angel just coming off those ceilings. It was great. All right, so it's raining, so we can't go anywhere, so sit back. And we'll get this done, all right? May take 10 minutes, 15, 30, 45, 50. You know, whatever it takes. It's raining outside. I want to recognize somebody today. David Gamble Jr. is in the house. Thank you for your service. Glad you're here. I want to read a passage of Scripture out of James chapter 1. And then I want to go back and rehearse something I said last week and then come back to this passage and talk about it. James was the brother of Jesus. That'd be some way to grow up, wouldn't it? Jesus as your brother, your older brother. Bad enough having an older brother, much less having Jesus as your older brother. Had to be quite a deal to grow up in that household. And must be kind of like Eddie grew up with the, yeah. So anyway, James almost didn't make it into the canons of Scripture. It was one of the last books that they finally said belongs in the Bible because of how he said what he said. Because Paul talked about faith and grace, and he talked about how that by faith you are you saved through grace and that not of yourselves. And then James comes along and James writes this book. And James talks about not what you believe, but how you behave. He didn't talk about what you believe. Matter of fact, James said this, faith without works, he said, is dead. He said, I really don't care what you believe. I want to know how you behave. Because how you behave really tells me that what you believe, you really believe. Because sometimes we say we believe in something, but if we don't adhere to it, if we don't do it, we really don't believe that. I mean, what we really believe is going to affect our behavior. If I really believe something is good for me, I'm going to do it. If I really believe that, I'm going to do it. But the temptation comes not to do what we believe. So James said this in James 1. I like verse 19. He said, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Now, when he says there, get rid of the evil, the filth and the evil in your lives, that sounds pretty rough, filth and evil. But it actually comes from a Greek word that really means get the wax out of your ears so you can hear. Get the wax, get what's hindering you from hearing out, so that you can really listen to what God is saying. Before we really get in and break this down, I want to rehearse just for a moment what we talked about last week, because we talked about how to have a better life. Today we're going to talk about how to life-proof your relationships. How to life-proof your relationships. How many of you have seen the life-proof case for the iPhone? It's expensive, and it works if you use it. I have had an iPhone 5, and because I have a tendency to drown phones, I've drowned 5 in my lifetime so far. So I bought a life-proof phone case for my i5 phone, and I used it for quite some time. And then a few weeks ago, I didn't have it on my phone, and I was at Dusty's, and I jumped in the pool with my i5 in my back pocket. And not that I just jump in, I didn't even know it was in my pocket for about 15 minutes. So it wasn't just like dipped in, it got baptized good. It was totally, completely gone. So Sunday after that, I went to Verizon to get a new phone. And in the process, they said, well, what happened? I said, well, jumped in the pool with it in my bathing suit. They said, you need a life-proof case. So I got one. He said, why didn't you have it on? I said, that's a good question. And see, the question is, we can know what it can do, but if we don't use it, it's really to no avail. I know a lot of things, but if I don't use what I know to do, that really doesn't matter. So last week we talked about how to have better relationships, and I love the definition of better: superior in quality, more advantageous, desirable, or serviceable, improved circumstances. How many know everybody wants that? Everybody wants superior in quality. Everybody wants better relationships. Everybody wants more advantageous relationships. And so I talked about three things last week that bring about better relationships. Number one is by believing the best is yet to come, because that is a biblical scripture. As a biblical principle that God has from the very beginning, God created the earth, but the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And from the evening to the morning, he said, that's the first day. We go from the morning to the evening, and we say, that's a day. He says, from the evening to the morning is the first day, because God always starts in the darkness and brings it to the light. Peter says, until the day star rises in your hearts and it's shining more and more unto a perfect day. And so things are supposed to get better in our life as we go along. We're not supposed to age disgracefully. We're supposed to age gracefully. And there's a way to do that, as when we let the glory of God rise in our hearts. So I believe the best is yet to come. Jesus saved the best wine for last, and surprised everybody at the wedding. Man, everybody else serves you the bad wine after everybody's drank the lot, and they don't know how bad it really is. But you save the best for last. And that's been a principle of mine for years and years and years and years. And I adopted this as a mantra in my life probably 15, 20 years ago. The best is yet to come. I've lived by that. I've based my life on that. I base everything I believe on that, that the best is yet to come. Number two, we make our relationships better by maintaining them. What's next is always connected with what's now. If you want what's next to be better, then now make now better, because next is only going to be a continuation of what is now. Next is a continuation of what is now. Always connected. So if I want to make next better, I make today better. Not tomorrow, today. I'm going to be better. No, you're not going to be any better tomorrow if you're not any better today. Because today is the only time you have. Because when tomorrow gets here, guess what? It won't be tomorrow anymore. It'll be today. So you missed it. That was deep. I know I went, because when you get there, it won't be tomorrow. It'll be today again. And so you got to do it today, because today is all you got. Matter of fact, this one moment's all you have. This space of time, right this moment, this is it. This is all you have to work with, is your present. And so if you want next to be better, make now better. Keep doing the good stuff. Keep doing the good stuff. Keep doing the good stuff. Amen? That's all it is. Just keep doing the good stuff. What works? Do that. Maintain it. Number three, restoration. And I love restoration. Thank God for restoration. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to have to go there. Restoration's hard. Restoration's not easy. Restoration costs you more than you think it's going to cost you. It's messier than you think it is. And it takes you longer to get through with it. It's a principle I taught many, many years ago. It's messier than you think. It costs you more than you think. And it's going to take you longer than you think. That's what restoration does, because it's breaking down what already was to bring it back to what it ought to be. Good. Thank God for it. I love it. Thank God my life's been restored. I love restoration, but there's a better way, folk. There's a better way than restoration. Don't ever go there. Don't get to the place where you need it. Is much better than having to have it. Amen? Okay, everybody likes that. All right. Understand this. You want a better relationship? You want wholesome relationship? Then understand three things. Number one, be quick to listen. Say, quick to listen. Psalm 66, 16 through 20. God's a listener. God is a listener. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. Whoa, I didn't even see that. Let's stop right there, because that's a Ralph 101. I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. Isn't that great? God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, maker of all things, lover of all lovers, giver of all givers, listens. Listens. It was God who thousands of years ago called a man named Moses and said to Moses, I have heard the cry of my people in bondage. Yes, sir. I have heard their cry. And he came and delivered them because he listened to their cry. In Acts 27:28, verses 27 to 28, for the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. For they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Why? Simply because they don't listen. So I want you to know that this salvation from God has been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. Thank God that you heard. But thank God that we listened. You better thank God that there is a religion, if you will, and I'll use that term in this context. There's a religion, if you will, that is so much easier than other religions. Thank God that we serve a God who, through Jesus Christ, has made Christianity the most easiest religion on the face of the earth. It's so wonderful. Because we know God not as some austere, demanding God, but as a Father who loves us. As a Father who loves us. Thank God for your Christianity. Don't ever, ever take for granted that you believe in Christ. I'm asked sometimes, is there other ways to heaven? I don't know. Not for me. Because this is how I believe. Not for me is not. Because this is what I believe. And so there is no other way to heaven for me, but other than what I believe. And I'm just glad that I believe something that is so much easier than what some of the religions of the world sure do make it hard. Sure do make it hard. Number two, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Proverbs 10:19. You ready? Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. That's pretty good. Proverbs 13:3. Those who control the tongue will have long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. You don't believe it? How many's found that out, that you've opened your mouth and just ruined everything? At the wrong moment, just opened your big mouth and just ruined it all. Man, you guys, you had this great time planned for your wife that night, and you opened your mouth and just ruined everything. You just spoiled the whole deal. And am I the only one who ever did that over my lifetime? Just shut up. Just don't say something. Proverbs 17:28. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. My daddy used to say all the time, it's better to keep your mouth shut and thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Silence is golden. Proverbs 29:20. There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. More hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Last one, slow to anger. Slow to anger. James is the Greek name for Jacob. And Jacob blessed his 12 sons of Israel. But not only did he bless them, he also pointed out some things in their life. And in Genesis 49, and see what James is, it's a book describing how Jacob talked to the 12 tribes of Israel, because James was written to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad. And so all through this, it's a beautiful understanding of Jacob and his 12 sons. And Jacob says to Simeon and to Levi, who are two of a kind, their weapons are instruments of violence. May I never join in their meetings. May I never be a party to their plans. For in their anger, they murdered men and they crippled ox just for sport. A curse on their anger, for it is fierce. A curse on their wrath, for it is cruel. I will scatter them among the descendants of Jacob. I will disperse them throughout Israel. Because anger is cruel. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's nothing good about anger. There's nothing good about wrath. And he says, don't be that way. Don't be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. I don't know if I should mention this, but I've mentioned a lot of other things I shouldn't have probably mentioned. But one of my favorite movies is Roadhouse. And Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze, he's this bouncer, you know, but he's nice. He teaches all of his guys who are going to kick people out of the clubs, just be nice to them. Now, you got to get them out, but be nice. And somebody asked him one time, said, you know, you're so little. How do you win all these fights and you're so little? And he said, you know, the guy who's prepared for a fight is way better than the guy who's looking for a fight. Now, I gave you a challenge last week. Now, this is what I've been shocked about, and I'm assuming some of you bought into it. Hope you did, three or four of you anyway. But it was a challenge from Proverbs 15:1, and it said that a gentle answer deflects anger. But harsh words, they make tempers flare. And so I got to jump on you. Before I shared that scripture with you, I practiced it for a week. Because I'm the pastor, so the Bible says, you who teaches people not to do you do it? That's scripture. You that say, thou shalt not steal, do you steal? You that say, thou shalt not commit adultery, do you? This pastor one time had his bicycle stolen. He thought, man, I'm going to preach it on the Ten Commandments. When I get to thou shalt not steal, I'm going to hit him as hard as I can hit him. Somebody's going to bring that bike back. But he got down to thou shalt not commit adultery and remember where he left his bike. So anyway. Sometimes it'll backfire. Do you do it? So I'm saying this. Now, I'm bragging a little bit, but 2 weeks now, 14 days in a row, gentle answer. That's all I've done. Gentle answer, every circumstance, every situation in my life. You know why? I'm prepared for it. Now, I had to be prepared for it. because there's been moments when I didn't want to give a gentle answer. So it's worked. 2 weeks. Run. Now, when I mess up, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you when I mess up. I'll get up here next Sunday morning, and if I mess up this week, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you how many times I messed up. But on social media, we had, I don't know how many people outside the church buy into this. I think there's 10 to 15 that have bought and said, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. And wow, they don't even come to church here. Now, if these people outside the church are buying in, where are you guys? I just want to know you're buying in. You know, this is challenging. You can just start this week. Some of you say, I'm glad it wasn't an hour ago. I'm glad that we're starting now. Because you may have, on the way to church, blew this one. Especially if you got kids, you probably blew this one. And you're getting them ready. I was going to go pick up John Henry and Liam. He spent the night with Liam. John Henry texts me and says, let me know when you're here, Gaga. Text me when you arrive. So I pull in the road that he's on, and I bring up Siri. I said, text John Henry Landruff. What do you want to say? I'm here. You just text me and said, text me when you get here. I'm here. And I sat there 10 minutes. And I get on the phone. I call him. He's, hello? I said, John Henry, I'm here. You here? Yeah. You said, look at your text. You are here, Gaga. Yeah. Wow. But I was prepared. I said, you know, he's a human being too. Oh, I forget kids are human beings. Wow. And you can make them angry. And you know the Bible says don't do that. Do you know the Bible says don't make your kids angry? There's some kids here going, listen, mama, listen, daddy. Don't provoke your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Be gentle with them. And if we all just left right now, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, how many know our lives and relationships would be so much better? But then he ends it and he says, not only that, don't just listen to God's word. You must do it. For it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. For you listen to the word and don't obey. You're like glancing, listen, you're like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. I want to give you the Greek rendering of that because I broke it down and really studied it out. What is he really saying? See, mirrors back then aren't like mirrors we have today. They were metal, and to really look in the mirror, you really had to be intent about it. You really had to look pretty deeply into it to see the imperfections. And what James is saying in the Greek is what you do, you glance at the mirror, and you see yourself, and you compare yourself to yourself, and you make yourself believe that your theology about yourself is right. Instead of looking intently and carefully. In the Old Testament, there was a curse that came upon Israel, and it was serpents in the desert. And God told Moses, said, I want you to make a brazen pole with this serpent wrapped around it. Brazen stands for judgment. Right. Says if one of the Israelites get bit by a snake, if they will look at the brazen pole, they won't die. Now that word in the Hebrew, look, if they will look intently and carefully, lingering there until it has taken this effect on their life, they'll live. The Word of God, if you will carefully look at it and not do a courtesy glance. We use that sometimes. We're playing golf. Are you going to go look for that ball? No, I'll give it a courtesy glance, though. In other words, I'll ride by the side of the woods that it went in, and I'll give it a courtesy glance. If I don't see it, I'm just going to go on. But I'll give it a courtesy glance. And I think sometimes that's what we give God. We come on Sunday morning, just give him a courtesy glance. Just a courtesy glance. Because I want to look into it carefully and intently. And when you do, you'll be amazed at what you'll see. And you'll be amazed at what you're able to do about it. I've shared this on numerous occasions. I think next month we're going to probably do the Sermon on the Mount, Summit Living series. But there were two things in the beginning of my ministry that for one whole year I studied. My private devotion was 1 John, 5 chapters on love, and the Sermon on the Mount. And I looked in those mirrors as deeply, as intently as I could. And it was a constant finding blemishes in my life. It was a constant looking into that intent law and finding blemishes. But you're able to deal with those blemishes. He said, if you look carefully, now listen to what he says, into the perfect law, it sets you free. The perfect law. Wow. Not just the law, the perfect law. The perfect law is the law that Jesus gave. The perfect law was the law when they came to Christ and said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. Hang them all on two. That's the perfect law. And what will it do? It'll bring you liberty. It'll bring you liberty. It'll set you free. Wow. Skitty's coming. What I want to do this morning, I want us to be more than hearers. I want us to be doers. Probably the saddest thing in ministry is seeing people that the shot just never takes, or they just never take the shot. I was talking to someone this morning that said they wish they went and taken a shot that was just to help you with, what you call that itching disease so bad? Shingles. And, you know, they advertise a shot now that you supposedly can take this shot, and if you get it, it won't be as in long a duration of it. He kind of talked me into getting a shot. I mean, you know, sometimes a person with experience can talk you into something more so than somebody without it. And so in that little brief conversation, I'm thinking, because I don't like the itch. I mean, just thinking about it kind of drives me crazy already. So I'm thinking, I may get this shot. How many, if there's a guarantee, you go to the doctor and he give you a shot, guarantee you, you'll never have cancer. How many would go take that shot? Guaranteed, take this shot, you'll never have cancer. They'd be flooded. They'd be flooded. And see, we have that choice every day of our life, in our soul and in our life. Go take a shot. And that shot is, be prepared when the challenges of relationships hit us, because they're going to hit us. And like I said last week, there's a lot of exit ramps on the road of relationships, lots of them, and you can take them, but the journey's worth the effort and the distance. Don't take the exit ramps. They're easy to take, but don't take them. I want to be a doer. And all it takes is being prepared. Because with your children, with your spouse, with your friends, there are going to be times when the temptation would be not a gentle answer that would deflect anger, but something that wouldn't be pre-thought, pre-considered. And you're just going to speak from a position and from a place that you're not prepared to speak from. And I'm not telling you something that's not doable. How many believe that God would not ask you to do anything you're not capable of doing? And God will not ask you to do anything that He won't give you the grace to do. Now, just for some of us who don't know this, grace and mercy are two totally different things. And most people they confuse grace with mercy. Grace is God's power in you to obey. Mercy is, I need it when I disobey. Grace is what you need so you will obey. Grace is a power. Paul said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And the grace that was bestowed on me was not bestowed in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace that was within me. You see, this is what the Word of God does. When you look into the Word as the mirror, when you reflect upon it, when you meditate upon it, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the very discerner of the intent of the heart. And it will show you what you need to do, what you need to correct, and how you need to react, and how you need to respond, and how you need to do this, and how you need to do that. And it gives you the power and the strength to do it. But I've got to put myself in the place where I'm prepared for it. You know, football season's about to hit, and man, I know what it does to this place. It just, everybody gets excited. You know, we're going to enjoy just watching the Bulldogs or your favorite college team. But let me tell you something. What you don't see, what you don't know, they're preparing right now. They're preparing. So when they get on the field, it's too late when they get on the field to pump the iron. Too late when that 350-pound tackle looks you in the face and goes, let's get it on, buddy. Well, let me go pump some more iron first. No, it's too late. We're fixing a collide, and we're going to hit hard. And are you prepared for this? That's all Christianity is. Are you prepared? You prepared for that unexpected? Let me tell you where it's worked for me the most, because Barbara's so easy to live with, the most low-maintenance person I know on the face of the earth. So to me to give you, I've gone 2 weeks with gentle answers. She's easy. She's really easy. So some of you don't have it that easy. God bless you. I know you don't. But where I've had to be prepared is in the car. In the car, I've had more challenges in my automobile than anywhere else. I was just sitting minding my own business at the grocery store waiting on my daughter to come out, and this woman pulls up next to me, rolls down her window, and just chews me out. And I'm just sitting there going, and I kind of look, I know I was sitting in a place where I shouldn't have been sitting, but it didn't have anything to do with her. I wasn't blocking her. I mean, where I was sitting had nothing to do with where she was, where she was headed. Nothing. But she just wanted to let me know I can't just park there. And so she just chews me out. And I just looked at her and went, I'm sorry. Now, 3 weeks ago, I was not prepared for that. I'll be honest. 3 weeks ago, I said, what is your problem, woman? What is your problem? I wasn't prepared. I told you years ago, the guy got behind me, and he's just barreling down on my tail in my automobile, and I started hitting my brakes. I just let him know, get off my rear end. And so I pull into a restaurant, and me and Barbara get out of the car. He pulls in behind me, and he is mad. And I'm mad. So I'm walking over to the car with a pretty brisk walk. But right before I did, Barbara said, don't forget who you are. I said, well, wait, you're a pastor. I said, yeah, but okay. So I go over to the car, and I'm ready for whatever confrontation you want. He's a little bitty guy. That made me feel a lot better, because he's a little bitty fella. So I, all of a sudden, I'm all puffed up now because he's a little bitty fellow. And I walked up and he started crying. He said, "I just left the hospital. My mama's dying. And I'm sorry that I was riding your bumper." Well, Pastor Buren felt like, Pastor Buren, I felt it, yeah. I felt about that tall. And I tell you how bad I felt. We got in a restaurant. Barbara said, "Well, what did he say?" I said, "He said he's sorry." And I told her the whole story when I got home. But I would, if I'd have recanted the story, I'd just melted right there. And you know, you never know. You never know what's happening in someone else's life. How many want to be a doer? You want to be prepared? Okay. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Carefully and intently. Because this is what you're going to see. Is you. Because the mirror is for me. When I look in the mirror, I'm not looking for blemishes in Barbara. When I get ready and I'm looking at this mug, it's this mug. This is the mug I'm looking at. And if we take care of the mug inside as we do the mug outside, mug inside will be a whole lot better. Amen. It'll work, church. But you got to be prepared. And all that takes is a conscientious awareness. A conscientious awareness that I'm going to be prepared. I've skirted several issues over the last few weeks. Just being prepared. Just ready for it. Just ready. So I want you to bow your head for a moment. And I want you to just make a challenge to yourself. I'm going to be prepared. I want to get in shape so that when this circumstance and this situation arises, I'm going to be ready for it. I'm going to be ready for it. I don't want you to look at me, because I want you to get this principle down. I want you to say it after me. We're going to say it until we all got it down pat. You ready? Next is always connected to now. If I want what's next better, make now better. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. I only got now. That's why the Bible says now faith is now. Now. It's all about the now. Amen? Amen. Well.
Amen. God's good, isn't he? That's a lot to digest, take in. Hope you got your bulletin. A lot of important information is in that bulletin. Things that are happening and taking place that you need to be involved with. We have a Doc Holiday Festival coming up at the end of September, and I need volunteers. Friday evening, I need a few. Saturday, I need a ton. I'm serious. I need about 35 people for different shifts on Saturday, and I'll have all that laid out. You just tell me you're interested, and I can tell you what you're going to be doing. So think about that. Not this Wednesday night, but next Wednesday night is our first Wednesdays. If you have not attended one of our first Wednesday service, you need to. We start at 6:30. It is wonderful, relaxed worship, an encouraging talk. Personal ministry takes place. It's a great night. It's a good night to invite somebody that hasn't been before. So think about that and do that. Our ushers, you can go ahead and become receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. We are so grateful for you and your faithfulness. By giving your tithes and your offerings, your alms. If you don't know this, alms is what we use to touch our community, to help people within the house at Eagles Way when they're in a time of need. So those funds are, when we don't have those funds in the account, you know what we do? We say, we're sorry, we don't have those funds right now. Pastor Buren's not very good at that, so they direct people to come talk to me because I'm willing to say that, and he's willing to say, oh, we'll find something. It's your mercy and grace. But your faithfulness makes a difference in the lives of not only people in this house, but in this community. Lord, we thank you that we can come. We can worship you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we ask you to take, Lord, these gifts, these first fruits, Father, Lord, multiply them for the work of your kingdom to touch people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may stand and let's worship.
Come to stand for all we believe in. So I, for one, am gonna give. the praise goes out to you. All the praise goes out to you. Today, today, I live for one thing, to give you praise for everything I do. All the praise goes out to you. Everything I do. All the praise goes out to you. Everything I do. All the praise goes out to you.
God bless y'all. Have a great week.